For those of you who are looking up into the skies, if you look closely enough, you could see the International Space Station. It's going to be blazing across the skies until December the 3rd. And to tell us a little bit about it, I'm joined by David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine. And he regularly contributes to the show and often gives predictions around the time that the International Space Station is visible in Irish skies. David, good afternoon. You're welcome to the show.
Thank you very much indeed, Angela.
I know this is exciting because, I mean, it's not often that we get to get a look at something like this in the sky. I'm sure it probably looks like a glitch to the uninformed eye, but tell us a little bit about this.
Well, when it flies over, it's by far the brightest thing in the sky. So if we don't warn people to go out and see it, we get calls and emails from people saying, I was out walking the dog. And this thing, 100 times brighter than anything in the sky, drifted across the sky with no noise. Well, what was it? You know, obviously thinking maybe it was aliens. But no, it's humans. Seven astronauts, to be precise, on the most expensive object the human race has ever built. The ISS costs over 100 billion euros.
And it's a, wow.
It's a bunch of modules bolted together, first launched in 1998, that would fit nicely on the pitch at Croke Park, to give you a rough idea of the size.
And what do they get up to up there?
Yeah, they're sort of, it's mankind's first outpost in space. So it's primarily a laboratory in space. So there's various things you can do in weightlessness that you find very difficult to do on the ground. So, for instance, developing some new ultra-fast, high-purity computer chips based on things like germanium instead of silicon. They could be 10 times better. So it would require a huge factory to build test samples on the Earth. But for just a few million dollars, you can do it in space with much smaller equipment. So that could affect the multi-trillion dollar electronics industry. And then there are various drugs that can be developed, at least small samples of them, for trials on the Earth. The big one that was touted early on was interferon. It was thought it might be the cure-all for cancer. Turns out, we don't know. It can help with some, but isn't the cure-all we had hoped for.
Yeah.
So again, you know, you could produce trials of those. And lots of other things that can be done in weightlessness if you have a laboratory like that in space. So the astronauts are lab technicians in that regard. But it's also an outpost. So they're caretakers as well. They've got to put on the spacesuits and get out and go and fix things every now and then. And the third thing they are guinea pigs. So we're monitoring the long-term effects of weightlessness on the human body. There are seven astronauts on board at the moment, two teams, and they'll be testing themselves. So they're like doctors, if you like, or at least nurses, taking blood samples. Scientists on the ground are watching what's happening to their bone density and the other functions of their body. Because, you know, people like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk have said they're going to put 1 million people on Mars by the end of this century.
Cracking.
Tens of millions, if not more, in space. Whereas today, there have only just been over 600 people have ever into space. So you want to get your medical facts right. So they're guinea pigs, they're lab technicians, and they're caretakers. That's what they get up to. Give them a wave when you see them flying over tonight. And I can give you the time in a moment.
And David, while you're checking that out, I believe you've met many of the space station astronauts over time. And is there a rumour that you even wanted to get in there yourself?
Yeah, back in 1991... the Irish Times carried a big article that the government put in because Ireland is a member of the European Space Agency. It simply read, astronaut wanted, no experience necessary. At least 700 Irish people applied, 15,000 across all of Europe.
Goodness.
There were only about there were supposed to be a dozen jobs, one per member country of the European Space Agency. So although Ireland has a small stake, we were expecting politically we'll have to have one. So we had a higher chance per person, if you like, than anywhere else. Unfortunately, during the recruitment process, there were cutbacks to six. So the big countries who put up the vast majority of ESA's budget got the astronaut's job. In particular, I always shake my fist when I see it.
That's stop.
A Spanish astronaut flying over, thinking, he got my job.
I just think it speaks volumes of you, though. You were so passionate that you actually even tried to get out there into space. We're lucky, though, that you're still on the ground because you keep us very updated. You mentioned times there. Did you have any luck with them? You were going to check out...
Yeah, so it's a different time every evening. So we're looking for the brightest thing in the sky. So you want to get the whole family out a few minutes beforehand, get your eyes used to the dark, and you'll see the space station coming up loose from light left across the sky, about the speed that a high-flying jet crosses the sky. So you're going to see it for a couple of minutes at least. So if something whizzes across the sky in a second or less, that's a shooting star. That's not the space station.
Mm.
And you won't mistake it, because if you look for the brightest star in the sky, ISS is up to 100 times brighter than that. So it really is unmistakable. And the time for tonight is, there are two passes, in fact. One is at 5:19 p.m., so about 5 hours' time, and that would be very high up from the whole country. It's 400 kilometres above the ground, which is higher up than Ireland is from north to south. So Donegal and Kerry will see it at the same time. And then there's a second pass where it'll come up a bit over in the west where the sun went down, get fairly high up, very bright, about 6:56 p.m.
And
it will fade and vanish, because it's not bright because it has headlights on it or anything. It's bright because it's so high up, it's still catching the sunlight.
Wow.
So it'll fade and vanish as you're watching going into the Earth's shadow. If you're on the ISS, you'd be watching the sunset behind the edge of the Earth. And then it'll fly over again tomorrow, as you said earlier, every night till December 3rd, but a different time. And you can get the time to watch on our website, astronomy.ie, by going to our social media links. So if you're a Facebook, Instagram, or ex-Twitter person, we post the predictions just before sunset every day. We also post whether there's going to be an aurora that night. There was a bit of one last night for Ireland. It would have been great, low in the north.
Yeah.
It was what we were able to predict. So there's all kinds of fascinating things going on in our social media, free of charge. Of course, if you like astronomy, join the society and get the magazine and email us with your town or county if you see ISS, and we'll put you in the magazine.
Brilliant stuff. Look, a real pleasure talking to you today. Very interesting, as always, David. And
one last thing,
yes,
Angela.
Go for it.
On Saturday, there's a huge Saturn watch. It's the best one we've run for 43 years, because the rings of Saturn are edge-on. And the last time we got to see this was 1996. The next time will be 2039. So it's a once-in-43-year event. So don't miss that. The details are on astronomy.ie. Well worth travelling for that. I know people are coming up to Dublin from Cork to see it.
Goodness. Okay. Listen, again, a pleasure. Happy stargazing, and particularly when it comes to the space station. All the best. Have a good day. Cheerio.
Thank you very much.
You're
Bye-bye.
Welcome. Bye-bye. David Moore there, and I mean, I'm glad that he's on the ground to tell us all about what's happening up there in the heavens, so to speak. But I'm sure he would have fitted right in on that space station had he been given a chance.